This morning we want to conclude our series. And I never like this word series because it has this drawn out thing. But anyway, I guess that's what it's been on hearing God. So we've looked at some of the things this, in the last few weeks. And that is, do I really want to hear from God? And then does God speak today? Then we talked about last week about hearing God through the Bible. So this morning we want to just look at something, other ways that God speaks to us besides the telephone, the cell phone. So just to start this off, sometimes it's good to start with a negative, right? And it's all, then go to the positive. So God does not speak, let me tell you, through fortune tellers. He does not speak through psychics. He does not speak through palm readers. He does not speak through witch doctors. He does not speak through mediums. So how do I know that? There are two pillars of truth, and Deuteronomy 18:14 is one of them. And it says, the nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. You can't get much clearer than that, can you? Because there are some dangers involved. And that's why God gives us these things in his word. And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for you today. We cannot carry today's troubles already thinking about the troubles that may be coming on tomorrow, which probably will never happen. So those are some of the negative things that God tells us that we are not to do, and the people that we are not to listen to. And I don't know, somehow, though, God spoke through my mother predicting the future. You know, sometimes we were in church, and then she would just say, just wait till you get home. Wow. Made for a long car ride home, so relaxing, right? And especially when we had some previous experience to go with it as well, it came vividly to your mind. So hearing God is such a vital part of our lives as God's people. As we walk with God, we need to hear him and we want to hear him. And, you know, this day and age, we all know that. We have tremendous number of voices that are blasting into our ears all the time. And if it's not coming through our ears, it's coming in a lot of different ways. We see signs, we read advertisements and all of those things, and they blast into our heart. There are voices coming through, and they're telling us to do this and don't do that and all those things. And then together with all of that, we've got all the old wives' tales, right? And the common superstitions that are really loud voices in our hearts. And probably some of these young ladies that are pregnant, they know what I'm talking about when it comes to old wives' tales. They're, you know, I had to catch myself a few times really talking to Claire. I said, oh, no, I didn't want to tell you that story. But, you know, like we've got all these things, like don't walk under a ladder, right? Have you ever heard that? Yeah, don't walk under a ladder. It's bad luck when a black cat crosses the road in front of you. Now, let me tell you, this one I believe 100%. It is bad luck for the cat when I'm driving. So that one is true. But, you know, hearing brings life and vitality to a conversation. Like we get involved when we are hearing people, when we're talking to people, because it allows us to gauge the intensity of what they're saying and to feel that that movement and the way they are conversing with us. And it's so we can gauge that person's involvement in the conversation. And certainly reading a letter and all of these things is not the same. We hear voices and we hear all these noises that go on in our environment. And it's so wonderful, especially up here in Terrace, when we've got all these wonderful quiet forests, right? Where you can hear the birds chirping and things going on, the quietness. And oftentimes we have to relax and really to be able to hear those voices above all the things that are going on. A lot of times in our own heads and our own minds. And we worry about the things that are happening or maybe our jobs or our families or whatever. And sometimes it's a difficult job tuning these things out. And just being able to hear. And it's well as the same in our own daily lives that we need to a lot of times just put all those things aside and just ask God to help us to just to hear. We have to train our ear to hear. Now, we lived in a society where we were the constant targets of home invasions, and just because people thought that we were super rich, right? And so Liddell's ears became very, very tuned to noises. Like I just sleep anywhere through any noise. And actually, the more noise it is, the better I sleep, for whatever reason it is. But anyway, Liddell's ears became very, very tuned to somebody breaking into our house, for example. Or she heard a rat in the attic, or she heard the fridge motor going, you know, 300 watts coming through the power line. So she'd catch all of those noises. And quite often she was right. Sometimes there were thieves, sometimes the power was going on and all of those things. Sometimes there were rats up there in the attic. So, but you need to tune your ear to hearing it. And if hearing is such a vital part of our physical lives, what do you think it is when it comes to hearing the voice of God, right? It is such a vital part of our spiritual lives to hear God, not just to talk about Him, not to hear others talk about Him, but really that God speaks into our lives. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I know them and they follow me." And so the question is this morning, like, am I really a sheep? Do I really hear God's voice? And does God, when He hears my voice, does He know it? And this is a statement. It doesn't say possibly God will hear. It just says that He says, "My sheep, they hear my voice." And I think the important thing is in all of our lives that we hear the shepherd's voice, right? With all of the other things going on, and some of them are good. We have all kinds of things and voices and things that maybe give us direction and so forth. They're all good. But we need to hear the voice of God. And I have no doubt whatsoever that probably every one of us present this morning, at some stage in our life, we have heard the voice of God. And we've heard Him speaking into our lives. And maybe we didn't recognize it as God's voice, but it is God's voice. As we look into examples in God's Word, for instance, God spoke, or Jesus spoke, not to the Samaritan woman, but He spoke with her. And that's God. He doesn't speak to us, but He speaks with us. And that is His desire, that He speaks with us. He spoke to the gluttons. He spoke to the sinner Zacchaeus. The Apostle Paul, when he was blinded by this bright light, he didn't know what was going on. And so God spoke to someone else, Cornelius, and He said, "Go down there, because here's a man who needs some direction." And the wonderful thing is that God loves to speak to us. Isn't that fantastic? That God loves to speak to us. And we understand that when God does speak to us, especially when we are in dire straits, sometimes, you know, we want to hear God speaking, right? But there's just something happening within our souls, and there is a heaviness there. There is a desire to hear from someone. And because it's hearing His voice that calms our spirits, and even when we are in the midst of that storm. Mark records the account of the disciples. They're in the middle of the sea, right? And they're in deep straits, and they're in a storm. Anyone here this morning that's in a storm? And we need to hear God? Life's that way, right? We are in storms oftentimes, and we just need to hear God to calm that storm. And it says, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. A few years ago, my younger sister was in one of these dire straits. And her husband had just been diagnosed with a cancer in the prime of life. In the prime time of his profession, had been diagnosed with cancer. And I was out at a district conference, and I just happened to go outside the door, and my cell phone rang, and my sister was there. She was sobbing and crying. And she said to me something that really has stuck with me. She says, "I know you can't do anything about it, But I just want to hear your voice. Friends, more and more, I long to hear the voice of God. I want to hear it. I want to hear God speaking into my life, because it does something to me when I hear the voice. It's so calming. Job 33:14 says, "For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it." God speaks through preaching oftentimes. And some of you may have some doubts about that. But in the 21st century, the gospel was not only preached. We don't know how to preach it now, but Peter preached. Paul preached. Actually, I like this guy, Paul. Like, he preached till early morning one time. And till everybody, only one person fell asleep. Now, that's pretty amazing, right? But so Paul preached, Apollos preached, Christ most definitely preached as well. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God." And that's why ministers of the gospel, they need to hear from God. They need to know, what does God want to say to his people? And let me tell you a little bit of a secret, and that is that oftentimes God speaks to us, first of all. And with a former congregation we were at, I told them at the end of the day, I said, "You know what, we've been here 4 years, and you don't know, but you've just been listening to me preaching to myself." And that's God, right? Because God needs to speak into our lives. We need to have God's word, and the word needs to be given. It needs to be doctrinally sound. It needs to be biblically correct. It needs to be relevant for today, because that's where we're living. We're living today. We're living in the now, and we need to hear God speaking to us. God speaks through dreams and visions. And I think I said it a few weeks ago, I'm not a great dreams and visions person. And anyway, be that as it may, but God still does speak through dreams and visions as well. And but you know, we can also get to the place of where when we dream something or have a vision that we think is a vision, you know, we can try to dissect everything. We can just try to say, now, what does this mean? And what is it, you know, is it past, present, or whatever it is? And so our minds can become laboratories where we're trying to dissect everything. And I'm the type of guy that just says, well, let's just see the frog without dissecting the thing, right? Let's just enjoy that thing. I don't need to dissect it all the time. And I was just in relation to this, we were quite amazed, actually, Ludell and I, just a few days ago. We saw a news item that mentioned that the U.S. Army was still dispensing Mifequin, or Larium, as we often know it, for malaria. Prophylactic for malaria. Now, this is a terrible, terrible drug. And like way back, probably 100 years, well, at least within our time when we were missionaries, everybody knew that you don't take malaria. And even when the doctors here, they tried to prescribe, we said, no, just leave that stuff. We know what it does, right? And it just causes severe depression, terrible mind-bending hallucinations, suicidal thoughts. It is a terrible, terrible drug. And here they are, they're still prescribing it to their soldiers. So what I'm saying is, sorry guys, before you pay a psychiatrist or a counselor, check your medicine cabinet. Maybe there's something in there that's causing some of these visions and dreams. Just check it out first, right? There are examples in Scripture where people had dreams. Genesis, Joseph, he learned through two dreams what his future would be. And we know that his sharing of those dreams, they caused a lot of dissension in the family. And yet God, being who he is, he used that dissension as a part of fulfilling the dream as well. There were in the New Testament, there's the Magi. They were warned in a dream not to report back to the king. And there were many times in the Word of God where God warned the people. Pilate's wife during the trial of Jesus, King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel's interpretation of his dream, that he will eat grass like a cow on the field, right? These were all dreams and that God warned people through. And then God also speaks through visions. Abraham, he had a vision of a ladder reaching up into heaven. Paul was led to Macedonia through this vision of someone over there calling him over there. And Peter received a vision transforming his attitude towards the Gentiles. This morning, let me tell you that there are some attitudes that we have that can only be changed, we might say, or transformed by a vision which we know is of God. That's the only way they can be changed. So let me just go down this side street just for a minute this morning before we get back on the main road, because you'll be happy that we are on the main road after I say these few things. You got any attitudes this morning about your pastor? Any attitudes about the church? Any attitudes about your government? Any attitudes about your family? Watch out now, here comes an ouchie. What about any attitudes about the person sitting next to you or across the aisle? Okay, let's move on, right? Let's get off that street quickly. That the Gentiles were outside of God's plan was ingrained in the teaching of the early disciples. Everybody knew it, that the Gentiles, they were out there. We were here, we are the called ones, we are the blessed ones, but the Gentiles were out there. It was an ingrained teaching which Peter knew well. And when we have something ingrained in us, it takes a work of the Holy Spirit to root that thing out. It takes a vision and a work of the Holy Spirit to change it. Acts 2:17-18, in the last days there shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Peter had it in his heart that these people were outside, and God spoke to him, and he said, they are not clean. He said, take, eat, right of the vision that came down of the animals that were clean and unclean, and God says to him, eat. And he said, no way, no way. But God does speak to us, and sometimes in those ways as well. And then God speaks through angels. In the Old Testament, God spoke through angels, through Abraham, Joshua, Balaam, Gideon, Samson's parents, Isaiah, Daniel, Manoah's nameless wife. And all through those people, God spoke to them through angels. And there are times when God speaks to us, I believe, as well, through angels, in that, for instance, there might be, I heard an example, actually, in one of the churches we were at. A couple just felt that they should go visit somebody else. There was and they just had this feeling, so they went over there. And when they got there, they realized that this elderly couple, they were in dire straits, and they needed someone to help them. That was an angel that God sent over there. And certainly we've had angels a lot of times in our own lives, of protection and all of those things. I'm sure that you have had it as well. Philip being directed by an angel in Acts 8 says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He was in the midst of a revival. Like, why would God want to take him out? And why would he even say go? But Philip went. Cornelius, Acts chapter 2, said he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God to come in and say to him, Cornelius, send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament especially. And just a few of them, Noah, for instance, proclaimed the coming judgment of God. Nathan was sent to David. 2 Samuel, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. Jezebel, she was told by the prophet Elijah that God would judge her, and that her the dogs would lick up her blood, just as was of her, of the one before. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 11, Agabus, he prophesied a famine would sweep the whole world. And so God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, and he wants to speak to us today as well. And then sometimes God speaks through an audible voice. There's God wrestling with Jacob, right? And sometimes we have a hard time even imagining this, but Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? Jacob. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name. And there he blessed him. He spoke to Isaiah, for the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. The Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. These were serious things God was talking to the through the prophets and through the men of old, right? And as I said, I have heard the voice of God. When I was 11 years old, and that's why I like to have young people in the service, and especially in mission service. I was only 11 years old, and God spoke to me. He said, I want you in Africa. I wasn't even saved. Like, you know, theology doesn't fit, right? Sometimes it doesn't line up to what we teach. I wasn't even saved. I hadn't even given my heart to the Lord, but God already spoke to me and said, I want you in Africa. So God speaks. And when our hearts are open, God will speak into them. God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He spoke to Balaam through the donkey. God spoke to Belshazzar through the writing on the wall. God spoke to Gideon through the wet and dry fleece. And so I need to keep in my mind at all times that God speaks in different ways. And I can't ever put God in a box and say, well, this is the way God spoke to him, to her. This is the way God spoke to me 2 weeks ago or yesterday, or this is the way he spoke to my parents. No, God is a miraculous God. And he is a God who speaks to us in many, many different ways. We had a young man working for us. His name was Pastor Julius Oscar. And his whole family was into witchcraft. And he was into witchcraft. There was darkness in their whole family. And one day, he was also with all that drunkenness as well. One day he was walking by the doors of the church. And they were having the play Heaven's Gates and, is that what it's called? Hell's Flames. Yes, I always get that mixed up. Anyway, he was walking by the church. And you know what? Let me tell you, this is one thing I like about Africa. They're very, very practical. Like, the ushers do not sit in the service. Like, they're out there by the back door, the front door. And they saw Julius walking by the front door, and they grabbed him. He was drunk. They grabbed him, brought him into the church, into the side room. They started praying for him. Now, this guy's drunk. His whole family's into witchcraft. But they drag him in, and they start praying for him. And God miraculously sobers him up. He gives his heart to the Lord, and God uses him, right? But when he was working for us, suddenly the police would come and they would grab him. They said, no, we know you. Like, you're on the run somewhere. They'd take him to the police station, and he'd have to tell them, no, I'm safe now. And he would tell them what God did in his life. But, you know, this is the way God speaks to us in so many different ways. We all love formulas that have worked, but God's always coming up with some new formulas. And for instance, today, in this day and age in which we live, oftentimes Muslims and Hindus, God is appearing to them in a physical body, and he's speaking to them, and they see a person in dressed in white, and he's just saying to them, like, I am the one. So God is using all kinds of different things, even in our day and age, to speak to people. God oftentimes speaks to us through the commitments we have made, and if I want to keep a commitment, I tell somebody what I'm going to do. And then it makes me do it. I found that that's the best method. If I say I'm going to be somewhere or do something, I tell somebody I'm going to do it, right? And so that really helps me to not, first of all, to maybe later on, not to make a rash commitment, because I've really had to suffer through this, maybe something that I had committed myself through. It helps me to follow through. So if I've committed myself to driving my friend who is screaming, mamma mia, like at the top of his lungs for an hour to the hospital, like I do it. I don't pull over and say, I think I better put you on a bus. No, I just do it, right? Or if the kids, maybe the grandkids are coming over and two rambunctious, three rambunctious young boys, I just don't say to my wife, oh, by the way, I think I had an appointment today. So, you know, we have to follow through. Yeah, you know, you brace yourself for throwing raspberries, and they're all over the wall, and they're all over the place, and they're throwing sand at strangers on the beach, and, you know, they're throwing up in the car after drinking too much chocolate milk. But, you know, you've committed yourself, right? Like, you take all of these things into consideration. Now, maybe next time you make you say you're going to do something, you maybe think it through a bit, and what you're going to do with it. But having a commitment is yes, not yes if. And it's the same way in our lives. When we commit to God, it's not yes, God, but, right? Or if. But it is yes, God, whatever. Now, I like Paul. He was, you know, he was my kind of guy. John Mark, whimpering, da-da-da. He ran home to mommy once, and Paul says, look, like, you're done. You're not part of our team. Like, I say, I'm Paul. I have very little time for guys that are running home. Let's be honest. I had saw lots of the fellas when we were working. We had probably 2,000 pastors, so we had lots of those things. But here's John Mark. He didn't make it. So Paul says, "No, I don't want him." But then I've also been like Paul Mark, or like John, Paul, I was going to say. And later on, when I've seen these young men mature, I thought, you know, I think they might be useful. I think I might be able to use them. And oftentimes it turned out that we were able to use them. And then God speaks through the still small voice. And I think that this is the most frequent way in which God speaks to us today. And maybe because it's one thing which presents itself more readily than any other. In other words, nobody has to be around. I don't have to have the radio on. I don't have to have a preacher on preaching the word. Nothing has to be happening, right? There's no extraordinary circumstances have to take place. Just being there. And God can speak into my heart. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak into my heart. And sometimes God speaks to us, about doing something, right? Like call somebody, take over a loaf of bread or give them $50 or whatever. But then God also talks about to us about being something. And I think this is something that we miss too often. We always, you know, we like to be doing stuff, right? But God talks to us something about being something, maybe more kind, maybe more considerate, maybe quiet. I need that a lot of times, right? God needs to just say, just be quiet and listen to others and to me as well. Sometimes he's speaking to me about being more dedicated, more committed to his word. Nehemiah 7:5 says, "Then my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people to be enrolled by genealogy." I know we all love the dramatic. Like we love, you know, the thunder and the lightning, and the flashing, and God spoke to me. But God speaks to us in the quietness of our hearts. And that's really where it takes effect, when God can do that, speaking into the very quietness of my own heart. 1 Kings 19:12, and we know this scripture very, very well. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." Heard any whispers lately? Yeah. Oftentimes God just whispers into our spirits. And if our voices are in tune, we will hear that whisper. It doesn't have to be loud. So how does God whisper into our spirits? And I think one of the ways is that he gives me peace when in the natural there should be no peace. And we find that in our lives oftentimes. We are in difficult situations and there's no way that we should be at peace. And yet God gives us peace. That's God. That's God speaking into our lives. Maybe there are inner promptings. Maybe our conscience is awakened. And God says to us, you know, reading that book is not a good idea. Watching those television programs is not a good idea. It's soiling your spirit. And God speaks to us in this way. Maybe there are reoccurring thoughts that God uses in speaking to us. Maybe it's a reoccurring thought about taking this course. I was in high school, and we had a class of 30 girls that were taking typing, and I was the only boy in there. And they said, "What are you taking for?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just taking typing, right? Guess what I've been doing all my life, right?" But oftentimes that's the way God speaks into our lives, just by a reoccurring thought, just do something. And we have no idea, we have no reasoning why we should do it. God is a personal God, and he delights, as I said, in speaking to us. After creation, he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. It was mutual. It was normal. It was every day. It was anticipated. God spoke in the garden to Adam and Eve. Worship team, if you would come and prepare yourselves as we get ready to close God's word this morning. And the thing is that God wants to have that same intimacy with you and with me every day of our lives. He wants to meet us in that garden. He wants to meet us in that place of where we work. He wants to meet us in that place where we live, where we have our movements, where our thoughts are, and all of those things, where our interests are. Those are our gardens. And God is just longing to be part and to become into those gardens of our lives and to speak into our lives. And God speaks to us in so many different ways. And I just encourage each one of us today that our ears may be open to hearing God speak to you and hearing God speak to me. And just inviting that communication with God. And going back to that verse that we quoted earlier on, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How about you this morning? Does God know your voice? Does he know you? Do you know him? And again, the opportunity is there. If you do not know the Lord, the opportunity is there today for you to open your heart and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to hear you speaking into my life." We live in a world in which we need to have the voice of God speaking into our hearts and into our lives. And if you want to do that today, there will be people up here in front after the service, and they'll be prepared to speak to you and to pray with you. But let's be content to know that God speaks to us and wants to speak to us, right? And may the Lord today again speak into our lives in so many different ways in anticipation of what he will do as well during this week. Let's stand as the worship team leads us.